Good morning. So, as you know, my name is Nathaniel. I'm not a pastor, so bear with me. This could be a little interesting. I don't have a particular sermon, per se. You know, I don't have 7 points like Pastor Terry does. But I can tell you about my life and how Christ has influenced me in my life, and maybe you can gain something from that. I certainly have. I'll give you a brief introduction to who I am. I'm married to Megan. He's in the back. You can say hi. I usually see you from the back of your heads up here, so I've never seen your faces before. So this is kind of new to me. So I forget what you are, because I know the back of your head. Turn around if I don't know who you are. So my story growing up isn't as exciting as some people you hear. I'm not a Hell's Angel. I never killed anyone, you know. But there comes to that a different perspective on your walk with Christ. And sometimes you hear this, these people who are heinous, horrible criminals, and they have a 180-degree turn. You say, wow, they're clearly a Christian, because look at their life was this, now it's that. Mine was pretty simple, I think. When I was 5, maybe 6, you can talk to my father to confirm all this afterwards. He talked with me about Christ, and I've been to this church my whole life. I've been in the church setting my whole life. And I knew Christ, and I knew that I was a sinner, even though I wasn't horrible, I guess you could say. But I knew that my sin put Christ on the cross, and he died for me. So I accepted Christ at 5 with my father, maybe 6, don't quote me. Okay, you know, you go through life, and I never had a big turnaround. That creates doubt. So I'll go through a series of moments that I call big moments in my life that I think I'll add up to Christ pointing his hand on me and guiding me around. If you aren't terrible, sometimes you got doubts, and you need Christ to help you out there. Couple weeks ago, I don't remember what Sundays are anymore. I work too many hours, and I plow too much. But we were discussing communion and how you reflect on your life, and you want to remember kind of what Christ has done in your life and keep short accounts. And when I reflect on Christ in my life, I look back across my whole entire life and where I've been, where I am now, and I say, huh, how did I get there? It's kind of interesting, but you really do think about it, and is it coincidence? I think not sometimes, but yeah, some might say so. So I'd say the first major event in my life, besides, I guess, accepting Christ, was my grandfather's death, right? And you're young, maybe 10. Once again, I don't keep track of dates, but that was my first real experience with death. But I was a Christian. I grew up in the church. I knew that I'd probably see him again. I was pretty confident in that. But there was his major cause of death was colon cancer. And one of the interesting things was you're exposed to cancer at a young age. You see what the x-rays look like. You know what it is. Even though you're young, you may not understand everything. But that was my first real moment with death. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. I probably cried. I don't know. I don't cry. That's up to you. It doesn't happen very often. But that was a moment in my life that was memorable and defining, which leads me into my next section of life, which is a larger portion. That was kind of like a brief intro. So when I was about in seventh grade, I was attending Christian Heritage. Some of you may know where Christian Heritage is or was. Justin attended there. And I was playing soccer, and I played soccer my whole life. I was incredibly good, and I saved a few people's undefeated seasons. We're not mentioning any of the names there, but I was pretty good. And I kept having pain in my shin bones. And I thought, oh, that's odd. Shoot shot down to my ankle. It wasn't anything like I've experienced before after many, many years of playing soccer. And so my mother, I think, took me to the doctor's, Dr. McClarney. I don't know if any of you guys met her. Hopefully not. You don't want to meet her. And they took an x-ray of my leg. And they put a cast on it, and they told me it was a stress fracture. So that makes sense to me, right? So that's probably where the pain's coming from, where it's hurting. And, it turns out, after, 3 or 4 weeks of having a cast on, I don't know if you guys ever met my brother Kyle. You probably don't know him too well. But there was a moment, and I remember at night, and I think I was playing a video game or watching TV or something. We're all sitting in the living room. And my parents said, Kyle, can you go to your room real quick? And Kyle went up and obeyed and went to his room. That in itself is a miracle, I think. So I knew something was up, and I thought to myself, oh boy, what did I do? I don't know if I made a mistake, that I hit someone. Well, I don't know. So I was kind of a little freaking out that I'd probably get in trouble. So it wasn't anything that I did wrong. It wasn't anything. And my parents told me that the doctor said I had cancer in my leg. And I said, well, that stinks. Once again, I may have cried. I don't know. That's up to you. You can figure that one out. But it was pretty depressing moment because this hadn't passed. I now had experienced cancer. I knew what cancer was. I had seen it. And I said, well, there's probably a good chance that I could die. The particular type of cancer that I thought I had was Ewing sarcoma. It happens in young kids my age at the time. It happens in their legs and their bones. And well, usually the death rate was pretty high. There wasn't coming back from it. So I had a Christian foundation. I knew the Bible, parts of it. I wasn't very old. I wasn't very confident. But I started thinking, you know, I could be angry at the world. I could be angry at God. Or I could be happy. Choice is yours. I chose to be happy. When I was in Christian Heritage, the first chapter I ever memorized in the Bible was Isaiah 53. And I don't know if you guys know what this chapter is about. You might say, well, how does that pertain to you? Well, let me just read it, and we'll discuss it some more. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and he was esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercessors for the transgressions. I memorized that in fourth grade. I read it to you because I can't do it word for word anymore. So that verse has always stuck with me my whole life. And you might think, well, I wasn't put to death, but I thought I was a pretty good kid. And why is this happening to me? I mean, I had two other brothers who I thought were horrible compared to me. So, you know, why me? I know. I know I was really good at soccer. So once again, why me? So that verse always stuck with me, and I know it didn't really have to do with what I was going through, but I know that God was perfect, or I should say, I know that Jesus was perfect. He never did anything wrong. He didn't deserve to go to the cross. There was no reason for it besides to obviously save our souls and redeem us. But I thought, here I am in a situation where I think I could probably just not live a whole lot longer, and I can either choose to be angry at God, angry at the world, or I can choose to be happy, and I can be thankful that God exists and he's in my life. And this verse kind of taught me that, as we see, he was a sheep before his shearers, he was brought to his slaughter, he endured a whole lot of pain and punishment, and what did he do? Nothing. He didn't curse God, he didn't sin, he remained perfect throughout the whole entire thing. And I said, maybe that's the attitude we need to have, or at least I need to have, in this sort of situation. So I chose to have the most Christ-like attitude I could, and that's to praise God for the thing. There was a lot of humor involved in it as well. We'll get there. So that's why Isaiah 53 has a part in my life and how I kind of connect it all together. Some people may not. So through this whole cancer journey here, we went to the Yale Medical Center, and they had, gave me two options. They say we can drill through your shin bone now and collect some marrow, and you can do some tests, or you can have a more invasive study, and we'll cut you open and really drill through your leg, and we'll gather the marrow that way. So I chose the easier of the two options. And the doctor at the time, he looked like a mad scientist, if I remember correctly. He just had hair along the sides, long hair, bald, and a little sketchy looking. And there was two medical students there, and one guy was pretty hefty. So they took me in the room, and we did it. And does anyone know who George Thorogood is? Raise your hands. I know Bill Harvey does. I've heard it. Does anyone know what one of his most famous songs is? That is the bone. Well, do you know what I sang while they were drilling through my leg? Probably won't forget that as medical students, but I was pretty good at singing that song, and it was kind of an appropriate song at the time. Well, they did that. This is kind of gross. So the doctor couldn't do it, but the bigger medical student put his weight into it, and I could start to feel my shin bend, and I could start to feel it dislocate at my knee and my ankle, and that really hurt. So they stopped. It was a good thing because it wasn't pleasant. So we said, well, that didn't work. We didn't get enough. We couldn't get into your bone. I have very strong bones, clearly. So anyways, we did the more invasive one, and this was also kind of an interesting experience. So they put me under, you know, they count to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're out. And they had the surgery. I had no idea it happened, but in the middle of the surgery, I woke up, and I looked over. My mom was there, and I want to say Lisa Weatherhead was there. And I asked for grapes and clam chowder. And I passed back out. And if any of you have ever been in anesthesia or anything, when you wake up, you feel a little groggy. You know what the first thing you don't want to hear when you wake up is? Here's grape and clam chowder. I don't know. I don't remember it, but apparently it happens. So, and as I've been reflecting on my story, my testimony, the past few weeks, it was supposed to be last week, but it snowed luckily, so we're at it again. You know, one of the verses that really spoke to me was Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. It said, God never grumbled, right? He never complained, or Jesus never complained. He was a pretty perfect guy. In Matthew 26, verse 39, he had a conversation with his father in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think this is a pretty appropriate thing to do when in a time of need or in a time of sorrow. It says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I think it's important to accept God's will. We can say, hey, God, is there another way around it? Is there something else we can do here? And you might get that answer, and it might not be great either, just so you know. But I thought to myself, and I prayed to myself when I was younger, like, is there something I can do to get rid of this cancer? Can I make it better? And I really thought, huh, that's interesting that we can go to God and we can ask him, hey, is there something else, other way around it? God's will, obviously, for Jesus was to die on the cross and redeem us. There's no way around that. There could have been if Jesus wanted to, but he accepted God's will and he went with it without complaining. Obviously, you know the outcome of my cancer story because I'm here. I'd probably be dead if I wasn't because I would probably die at like 17. I lived. They did the scans, hundreds of MRIs, CAT scans, CT scans. At one point, they all had that little tentacly shadow going through it. And then after this more invasive surgery, all those tentacly shadows were gone. Isn't that a little weird? You know, all the MRIs, all the CAT scans, they're all negative, never showed anything. So it's a little odd, I think, that they can show something at one point, and you have a long conversation with God over a couple weeks and months, and they're just gone. Woo! Some people call it a coincidence. I don't know. I don't think it was. So I'm alive. Good. I have no cancer. Great. My gallbladder is a little painful right now, but that's a whole different story. We're going to zoom a little bit past my life. And it said, you take a whole picture of your life and you start putting things together and you kind of see how God guides you along. And we're going to kind of zoom back to high school a little bit. I graduated from Grace Christian School in Bennington, Vermont. It was the biggest school in Vermont for Christian schools. My class was 18 people. So I think the whole school had 75. Another miracle in my life, I graduated and got the literature award. If any of you know me, that's not me. Don't ask me. Decided to go to Liberty University. Probably wasn't my favorite thing to do, but I did. And I went. Didn't really like it. I went 4 years. I didn't graduate. I think I was kind of lost and, yeah, whatever. You go wherever you want. But halfway through Liberty University, after my second year, I think I did finally decide to do what I always wanted to do. And I've always wanted to join the military. I know probably most of you don't realize that. So I did really good on the ASVAB. I scored as high as I possibly could. And the recruiter there said, all right, you have any surgeries? You have any of this, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I don't do marijuana. I don't drink. Oh, but I had a biopsy when I was, 10 years ago. He said, oh, okay, well, can we get medical records for that? Sure, we'll go to Brattleboro. We'll dig them up and get them out. I know that I went to all my MRIs. I went to all my CAT scans. And they cleared me. They said there's nothing there. The doctors couldn't tell me why. But there was nothing there. And I knew that. So not to bash the Brattleboro Hospital or anything. I know that there's lots of feelings there. So I went there. I said, hey, can you get my records? They said, yeah, here's your name, blah, blah, blah. And they went to their little record keeping. And they said, oh, nothing's there. I said, what do you mean? They said, we have no records. You haven't been here before. And I said, well, I have. And I explained to them the situation, and I needed it to join the military. They said, well, too bad. We don't have it. I said, okay. And at that time, I think there was like a week before I had to decide to go back to Liberty or to somehow join the Air Force. But I didn't really think that maybe joining the Air Force was the best of ideas. You ever get those gut feelings down inside, like you want to do something, but maybe you're not supposed to. And then you get this door closed on you because you have no medical records. You say, ah, whatever. Well, I decided to go back to Liberty. And, there's that. Once again, interesting. I always thought it was interesting that, we want to do what we want to do, but maybe God doesn't want us to really do that. There's a will that he has for us in our lives, and I don't think I was really following it. I think I wanted what I wanted. So I went back to Liberty. Once again, two more years. Best thing about Liberty is I met my best friend there. He lives in South Carolina. We text daily for 10 or 12 years. Great individual, and you can talk to him about anything. And sometimes I wonder if God put him in your life for a reason. And I think that's probably why I went to Liberty. He was a really expensive friend, but that's a whole different, I guess they say a good friend's priceless, so whatever. So we're going to move along. So one day, this is where Megan gets involved. And my mother, well, first off, Duffy introduced me to Megan like 2 years prior. She doesn't remember. Pretty unmemorable person, I guess. But I thought, oh, she's pretty cute. But she probably has a boyfriend, whatever. So I think I didn't see her for like 2 years because I was working weird schedules and didn't happen again. And my mom and her friend from work kept coming to church and said, oh, you need to talk to this girl. So I said, okay. Sheepishly went over and talked to her. And we scheduled what I call a date. She probably was called hanging out. She didn't know yet, though. And our first date, as it were, we went shooting in Hinsdale, where two people just got recently murdered. So it was a little romantic, as it might be. A little creepy, probably, for her. I don't know. Who knows? Was it a fun time? She had fun. I also had to park like 5 miles away from the shooting range because the snow was in the ground, and that was exciting. And you walk with all your guns. Anyways. So we were dating for 6 months before we got married. But one of our dates, I don't know if she calls it that, but we'll call it that. We went to Spofford and, we were kayaking. I really thought about my life as a whole. I was only 24 or 25 at the time, so it wasn't like, it was a great huge span. But I really find it interesting that, God brings you to a point in your life where when you're not we're all sinners, but when you're not a horrible, evil human being, and you don't have a 180-degree turn, let's say I had like a 5-degree turn, you sometimes doubt, like, am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? You know, what has God done in my life? You know, this guy, he went from murdering to, you know, handing out tracts at every store. That wasn't me. But sometimes I would doubt myself, like, hey, am I saved? Then you think about your life and you say, oh, I had this cancer situation. And I truly believe God had some sort of intercession in my life and took it away. Okay, you know, you go through life bebopping. And then you go to college and you don't really get to do what you want to do, but you're there for a reason. Maybe we don't know what that is at this point. And then I met Megan, and I think my father would confirm that. I think after 2 weeks, I knew I was going to marry her. She didn't know that. Maybe it scared her. I don't know. I didn't tell her that either. But I often think, where would I be in my life if I did join the Air Force, if I did do what I wanted to do and not follow God's will? And maybe Megan wouldn't be here. Maybe I wouldn't be here. Maybe I would have met someone else. And obviously the two cutest kids in the world would have never been born. But that's besides the point. We all know who that is. But, you know, when we examine our lives, when we look back on our lives, we think, how did we get here? You know, why did the things happen to me that they did? And I look at things through a biblical perspective. I met an individual at Liberty once, and he was from Cuba. Real nice guy, a doctor. And he just became an American citizen, was very new to the Christian realm, and he was very smart, kind of scientist sort of kid. And he always said, well, all their MRIs screwed up. Everything's screwed up. You know, all the doctors are wrong. Doctors can be wrong, I guess. But I look at things through a biblical lens. And I have to say, I think God directed my life. I think he healed me. I think he brought me to where I am today. This kid would probably now agree with me. He's a little bit older, a little bit more mature. He took his, side note, he took his American citizenship test, and he got one question wrong. So how did you get that one wrong? Who won the Civil War? Couldn't get it right. Now, I'm a sinner. I think we're all sinners. And the need for Jesus Christ is real in our lives. I think we can go along through life and we can choose our own path, our own destiny. And you can do that if you want, but you're going to go through a lot of struggles. You're going to go through a lot of hardship. You're going to go through a lot of pain. If you do know Jesus Christ, it's a lot easier. There's a lot less struggles, a lot less sorrow. There's a reason why things are happening. You may not know it, but it's a lot easier to accept the will of God when you're a Christian. So even to this day, I still think about Isaiah 53. Christ bore our punishment. He took our beatings like a sheep who was led to the slaughter. Why? Because he was following the will of God. He didn't curse his father. He didn't grumble. He didn't whine to the disciples. Like, I've got to do this, and you guys get to eat steaks every night. He didn't say that. He did so out of obedience to his father and pure love for us. That's just it. He knew that if he conquered death, the human race could be saved. He redeemed us. In this chapter, one verse that particularly speaks to me, in verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, I always thought that was the verse, always out of that chapter, particularly stuck out to me because it says, "With his stripes we are healed." Now, I know that just means more of a spiritual world, because Jesus died and bore our punishment. We are healed through his stripes and his beatings. But that always then said, with his stripes we are healed. Maybe we are. There's more to it than just the soul, I think, because I think I was healed. And my relationship with Christ, although not perfect, has helped me immensely in my life. And who knows, I might not be here today without that relationship. I don't know. You never know. I'll encourage you to start your relationship with Christ as soon as possible, because you never know when your time is up. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered him, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, let me see how am I doing on time? I would say that if you don't know Jesus, and maybe if you're on the border, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your Lord, today might not be a bad day to do it. I wouldn't wait much longer. He helped me in my life. He helped me through what I would call pretty dire circumstances, in my view. Well, call it whatever you want. But I'm confident that without Jesus, I probably wouldn't be here today. And who knows what's going to come up in your life. You might need Jesus to give you a hand. It'd probably be real helpful. So that's most of my story. It's still going. I'm only 31. So we might have a few more years to add on there, hopefully. Hopefully there's something to take from there. This is all new to me. But that's my life. If you have any, yeah, if you have any questions or answers, fire away. I got lots of good answers to some questions you might be wondering about our family. You know, as I said, all I can do is accept Christ if you haven't. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that will give your soul eternity in heaven. The alternative isn't good. I guess Bill.
There's only three pages up here. No. I know more about Nate now than I have in the past 30 years since I've known him. Fantastic. I just praise the Lord so much for that, for the testimony that you have shared. It's really been a blessing to me. And you know what? I think our youth are especially blessed, don't you? Wonderful guy. Wonderful leader. You know, I was thinking about his friend, you know, about passing that test. You know, I don't know where Liberty is. Is it south of the Mason-Dixon line? Because they really don't know who won the 342. Just as I am. This is a beautiful melody, but it's great words too. Let the words sink into your life. And, you know, as Nathan has said to us, following the will of God, it just really blessed my heart. Because that is the very best that we can do as unto the Lord. So let's stand and sing in closing. 1, 3, and 5 of 342. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst me unto thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come on the third, just as I am in the toss of earth, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting fierce within and fierce without a lamb of God, I come. I come. On the fifth, just as I am, the world receive, will in glad receive, because thou promised, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. As we close in prayer, let's reflect on the words of this song, and let's also reflect on the fact that God accepts us just as we are. That's simple. God is only a prayer away, and if you pray to accept Him as the Lord, your Lord and Savior, please talk to the pastor, myself, Butch, or Nate, and let us know of your decision. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time together. I thank you for Nate's testimony and how he shared it with us in his life, and I praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, just continue to bless him and bless our youth as they meet. together and discuss your word and learn. Lord, we just pray that they'll just continue to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. Thanking you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.